This is the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, where we have conversations with everyday martial artists about their histories and how martial arts influence their daily lives. You are listening to the abbreviated version of this podcast, which is the first 20 minutes or so of the show. Please consider supporting the show by subscribing on our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/MALMAG. And for about the price of one coffee shop coffee per month, you can get access to 4 new podcasts each month, 1 week before their YouTube release dates. You also have access to all of our existing shows, which at this point is about 100 hours of shows for you to enjoy. Individual shows can be purchased at our Gumroad page. That is malmag.gumroad.com. In this episode, I sit down at an Airbnb in Venice with Joe Heller. Joe is from Oregon, and he has a diverse background in different martial arts, including Jeet Kune Do, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Karate, and Muay Thai. Sit back and enjoy. Welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, and I'm sitting here in the Los Angeles area, actually just really close to the Academy. We've got the Sifu Francis Seminar coming up this weekend, and with that, we've got a lot of really cool people coming in from out of town, and in town this week is a good friend of mine, Joe Heller, who is here, and we thought it a great opportunity. I'd thrown out the idea of him being on the podcast a while back, and he texted me and said, hey, I'm going to be there. Let's do it face-to-face. And so we are literally sitting here face-to-face in this kind of cool-looking 1950s-looking Coca-Cola plug. Hey, I want some money, Coke. No. Coca-Cola booth. So I kind of feel like we're back in a Cafe 50s or something here.
We are.
Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. And you just came down from Portland.
Yep, Portland, Oregon.
How's the weather there now?
Oh. We had a frigid ice storm.
Oh, man.
And I looked down here. It was like 50s, mid-50s all week. And then today it turned a corner.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to leave. What are we in, low 50s? And landed in 70-degree weather. So I couldn't be happier, man.
That is great. Nice. Yeah, and it's going to be even warmer tomorrow and Sunday.
That's good because I didn't know this when I booked it. But the Airbnb that I'm staying in, the only shower is outdoor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have. I booked it because they have a hot tub, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to train all weekend. And I looked at the place. It looked great. Somehow I skipped it. There's like a full bathroom, but there's an outdoor shower.
That's interesting. Yeah. It kind of takes us back to the Arkansas days, even though many of us never lived in Arkansas.
I sure didn't.
I love you, Arkansas. I'm sorry.
Yeah, love the state. But, yeah, my plan is to train hard, hit the hot tub, quick shower in the evening. Get back at it.
Nice. Well, that's good. No, hot tub's a good amenity to have, I think, in anything, especially when, you know, you've got something like a seminar like this, though it's not overly physically taxing. It is going to be mentally taxing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Sifu Francis always blows minds.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's great. I mean, you've got a pretty varied martial art background, but let's go back to the beginning. Tell me how you got involved in martial arts.
Oh, man. My dad won a VCR through work in the 80s.
I'm going to say, no, this we just like, dated it. I know about that.
I want to say.
Now, was it a one-piece VCR, or was it like, I'm going to really make myself look old? Or was it a two-piece VCR like I had because if you had a video camera, it wasn't a camcorder in the early days. You had to attach half of your VCR.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Those things were heavy, like 90 pounds.
No, it wasn't that fancy. It was a work bonus. It was a top loader.
Oh.
And the remote was wired. I remember that. Which worked until one of our dogs chewed through the
wire. Of course.
Yeah. You know, whatever. But we watched, maybe it was post-86, because we watched The Karate Kid. It was the first VHS tape that I got my hands on.
Wow.
And, you know, we're at the store, and I'm a little kid learning to read. So I'm like, what's Karate? You want to watch this movie?
Karate.
Karate,
What's Karate?
And he's like, no, you'll like it. So we get it home. Man, I'm like, what is going on? This is incredible. And he goes, if you like that, you got to try this.
But so
he
came back. There's more.
Probably 2 weeks it took him, he found a copy of Enter the Dragon.
Ooh.
And I'm like, who is this? What is Bruce Lee? And he did some research. It was probably one of the few times in my life he really tried to contribute to what I was interested in. And he founded JKD school in town. And wow. So by the time I
was. And where was this? Was this in Portland?
No, this was in the outskirts of Portland in Hillsboro.
Okay.
And so, gosh, it was with a group out there. I can't remember the name of the organization off the top of my head. They changed it two or three times. And the instructor ended up being quasi fraudulent. He had a background. I think he'd gotten a black belt from Japan Karate Federation.
Okay.
And he had changed all the signs.
Japan Karate Federation, is that?
It was like, I don't know if it was local to the West Coast.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking, because JKA is Shotokan, so I don't know what JKF would be.
It was a Shotokan.
Okay.
For sure. Without a doubt. Although we did spar a lot, and that was probably the saving grace. I trained there for a number of years, probably from the time I was 9 years old till I was about 15. And we sparred every day, and I remember being 12, and one of the guys who trained with us was a local DJ on the radio, and he was trying to knock my head off. The guy must have been like 32.
Ooh.
Or so. And it was not safe.
How old were
you? I was 12.
12?
Yeah.
Okay. It's starting to sound like me. At 12 years old, getting into a PKA kickboxing school. And I had to spar a woman who was ranked number one in the world, who had knocked out the Canadian champion in her previous fight. But she didn't necessarily try to take my head off. She punched me in the chest, like, kind of good.
But she was a good trainer.
Yeah, she let me know. This is real.
That's nice. Yeah. It was real, but it was really just like people duking it out. It could have been as much information as some buddies in the backyard.
But that's fascinating. That's a look for those of you who didn't really train in the 80s, the idea that you're going to be a 12-year-old and there's no kids class. They're going to throw you with an adult,
right,
who is going to punch at you like you're an adult.
So not only that, but he had pissed off the local karate schools in the area.
Oh, boy.
So every now and again, the one down the street would come in all dressed in their gis, and we would battle it out.
Wow.
And we would have gloves on. Stuff would get broken. They would throw chairs. You'd kick people in the groin.
Damn.
Yeah, so everybody, like, wore protective gear because we never knew when somebody was going to come in. Nobody got arrested. I mean, this is the 80s. It was the Wild West.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the kicker. So the information wasn't there.
Yeah, if it was the Wild West, there'd be no padding.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't that
bad. It wasn't that uncivilized. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Right. We had, like, we used, like, the, I don't know, that gear from, like, Taekwondo, the foam
gear. The Junri gears.
Yeah, stuff. Exactly. Yeah,
CT or whatever it was called. Uh-huh. Yeah, macho.
It always fell apart. Stuff. Yeah, macho. Sure. This guy was somewhat aspiring, and he had crossed paths with a gentleman you might know. I don't know, Leonard Trigg.
Of course I know Leonard Trigg. Yeah.
Okay. So because of that, around 90, maybe it was before 90, Maestro Ted Lukai came and visited the school.
Wow.
And so did Edgar Saletti.
Okay.
But Maestro Ted was going to have these chapters in Oregon. And he's like, I'm going to do Lakai Lakai schools.
Okay.
And this place was supposed to be one of them. And then, of course, you know, he passed away. And the rest of that is history. But he had brought somebody out with Leonard Trigg. And they were teaching an Arnie's class.
Okay.
At this brawling fight school that I was attending with no information. Oh, yeah, and I said he had done work in some kind of karate organization. I believe he called it Japan Karate Federation. I'm going back almost 40 years.
Yeah.
But he changed all the signage to JKD.
Okay.
And he would put, like, the Dowji Kundo on the coffee table out front in the lobby and all this stuff. So I'm like, we're learning JKD.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, after Maestro Ted visited, I got some magazines and stuff and was going through it, and there was an article, and it was on trapping and, like, referenced Poxow.
Mm.
And the instructor there at the time was Rick. I'm like, Rick, man, we haven't done this trapping yet. When do we get to that? And I had trained there so long, he had kind of built a relationship with me, like you were saying before we started recording. He was kind of like a father figure to me.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out later, I don't know if we'll get to that part, he was just totally amoral. but he disillusioned me a little bit. I confronted him. I'm like, man, where's this trapping aspect at? When are we going to start working with Maestro Ted? He goes, oh, I just changed the signage because it's really good marketing. All the kids are really into JKD these days.
Oh, wow.
I'm just learning from books. I don't know anything about it.
Wow.
And at the time, I kind of languished there a little bit. There weren't a lot of places to go and train. Mm-hmm. And it's not like today where you're like, you hop on Google and you're like, you know, oh, where's the Inosano Academy at? Or who does MMA nearby? Or, you know, you can find
now, distance training. You just get on Zoom with
somebody. Yeah, heck yeah. So you didn't know if people were qualified. And I just went there. It was the only JKD school in probably from Hillsboro to Portland, which is about 20 miles. Mm-hmm. And I was not able to drive at the time. I was like 14 or 15 when I wrapped up there. And I took a little bit of a break. Just some stuff had happened. And then I ended up quitting just because I just kind of felt like I had been defrauded a little bit. And like, hey, I want to study JKD, but this is kind of pseudo-karate stuff. Mm-hmm. And so a friend invited me to a local boxing gym in a community center. And I had started training there with him, and it ended up being 3 nights a week. And the coach was really, really good, really solid. But they wanted all the kids to compete. The guy was raising kids to go to the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
And at the time, I just wasn't into that, and I still wanted to get back to martial arts. So I probably put in 3 or 4 years there, and I got to where I thought I was pretty proficient at sparring. I really enjoyed it and would show up, and I'd help the guys on the fight team, like, every day. And one day, this new guy came in, and I'm doing pretty decent with him. I'm, like, 17 or 18 now. And I'm like, just really comfortable. Like, you know, when it's just, you got a beginner and you're like, this is pretty easy. And you're just being nice to the person. Mm-hmm. And the guy leg kicks me out of nowhere. And it was pretty soft. He did like the place and push.
Yeah.
But it still buckled me and like moved me. Plus we were boxing.
Yeah. And you're like, that's not boxing.
Yeah. So I'm like, exactly. I'm like, man, what's going on? He goes, oh man, I'm sorry. He's like, I train across town. I've been joining this Muay Thai gym and I'm coming here to like work on my upper body and hands. And I go, well, where's that, man? I got to go because I've done karate and stuff. I've never seen a kick like that. Mm-hmm. So he introduced me to this place called Northwest Fighting Arts in downtown Portland. Mm-hmm. A guy named Jeff Patterson runs it. So he's under the TBA. And then the first month I'm there, Grandmaster Chai Sirisut does a seminar hosted by Jeremy Wires at that location. And I think Sifu Chris Clark was in attendance. And Leonard Trigg, and then everybody in the area going to the Thai boxing seminar. And I just kind of got plugged into that, and I was like, oh, this is feeling more like home.
Yeah.
This is what I wanted. And I just, you know, I kind of thought, like, JKD really, it's not out there. I'm never going to come across it. Maybe I should move to LA.
Meanwhile, you're in the room with a bunch of JKD.
Right, yeah, exactly. Everybody knows Inosano.
Right.
Like, even, like, we know, I'm sure everybody listening knows, like, Muay Thai in the country basically traces back to Inosano, like pushing the seminar circuit, bringing Master Chai with him everywhere, getting him set up, basically following his seminar route.
Right.
And so everybody's leaving the seminar. And they're like, well, if you like that, you know, Guru Inosano's going to be here in like 3 months. And I'm like, Guru Inosano? And of course, I'd seen Game of Death.
Yeah.
I knew who Inosano was. Mm-hmm. I hadn't, everybody needs to understand, this is before iPhones. This is before the internet. You couldn't you couldn't just look up like where to train with who.
No, you had to be a complete nerd like me, which was buying every single magazine on the newsstand at the time and reading about it, and then, oh, look, the bookstore. Yes, these books are important, but they don't care if I sit here and read it. Great.
Right. So in my ignorance, I was like, wait a minute. Dan Inosano's still out there teaching and training people? And like he's in his prime. He's like late 50s, early 60s, right?
Yeah.
It's like right around 99. And so then I found he had just done those tapes with Rick Young out of Scotland.
The Definitive series. Yeah.
Exactly, Rick and Rick, I was like watching that and trying to practice it every day.
Honestly, still one of the best reference sets out there.
It is. Yeah. I still look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's still stuff. I'll watch it over and over again and be like, how did I miss that? You know? And some of it's, I feel like I miss a detail, and some of it's just those eyes in retrospect.
Right.
Where you're like, oh, I'm ready to receive that information.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Like, but there's, you don't even realize the sheer depth he's putting into things.
Right.
And you're just like, you could just mine it forever. So I started training there, and they were like, yeah, you know, we're under Inosano. This is at Fighting Arts. So I spent 5 years there. And, you know, this isn't anything that's A, not true, and B, that I wouldn't say to anybody that's, you know, in person. And I've talked to Patterson on the phone a bunch of times. But my goal at that point was, hey, I want to get certified by mm-hmm. Guru Nasano. And what do I got to do? I got to go to L.A. and all this stuff. And he's like, oh, we'll get there. Just keep going to seminars. I'm like, oh, great. So I'm like 5 years in, and I'm alternating, right, because Grandmaster Chai would come. Mm-hmm. And then Guru would come twice a year because he'd go to Seattle.
Right.
So I'd do at least 20 hours with Guru. And I'm taking Kali privates and, like, just trying to get sharp. And I go to Professor Patterson. I'm like, you know, man, what do you think 5 years is this a good timeline to, like, really get into the system? And he's like, oh, yeah, what, you know, you should go down to L.A. or something. I didn't tell you. I've never been certified by Dennis. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, you know, but I teach JKD, and using that quote, you know.
Yeah.
Having no way is a way.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you can do anything.
I'm out here no weighing.
Exactly. So it was a continuation of no way. You know, to his credit, we would practice the material from the seminar.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's seminar trained like Guru Rick Fay,
yeah.
who get hands-on time with Guru yeah. at all hours of the night. You can ask any question you want. And then there's, hey, I just showed up and took a seminar.
Right.
And, you know, maybe he came by and did 30 seconds or something. Mm-hmm. So we'd be doing stuff like, I don't know, Puño Sembrada or regular standard middle range Sembrada. And you wouldn't have all the variables of the drill. So it'd just kind of be Swiss cheese,
yeah.
like bits and pieces. So I'm wrestling with that. Like, well, where am I at in this journey? I still want JKD and Kali. I really want the genuine article.
Mm-hmm.
And I really would like to be accredited by a guru at mm-hmm. some point. And I'm like, gee, he's getting older. You know, this is like 2004.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
meanwhile, 2024, he's still going like he's still 40. Yeah.
Man, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And every time, I'm sure I off the cuff say to somebody, like, you cannot keep up with him.
No, you can't. You know, he just literally added a Monday night
class.
Yeah.
I saw that.
So he's like, no, I want to teach yet one more hour this week.
I didn't even have to see. You know, there's no mention on the schedule who's teaching it.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to look or ask anybody. I just, Friday night or Thursday when I was getting ready to fly out here, I was like, Monday class? I'm like, oh, Guru's doing less seminars, so of course he's got to add more to his plate.
Right, right.
And spend time with those
kids. Here's the funny thing, too, with the kids class, right? So when he stopped traveling, I teach Saturday kids class. So he's like, can I come in and assist you? And I'm like, oh, you're asking me if you can come assist me in your school?
I'm like, just lost my coffee.
Let me check your resume, Mr. Inosanto.
Yeah, it's utterly, I was telling my student who's here with us, Michelle, like.
Say hi, Michelle.
Hi.
All right.
Hey. Don't spit coffee.
Oh, my God. Closet. It's nice. We just caught her with like, ah.
Sorry, I just took a sip of coffee.
Yeah.
His energy is so infectious, you know, and even going to seminars when I was younger, but definitely come to the academy. I feel like I go to a week worth of classes or something, and that energy stays with me for sometimes months at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's the motivation behind it, and I don't know, there's just like such a feeling of this wholesomeness about it, too, mm-hmm. in a way. Like, it's just so pleasant. And it's just like the best training environment to have him cultivate that
right.
decade after decade. And then be around everybody who's just so sharp because he just attracts mm-hmm. people like a magnet that also are like, you get the same vibe and attitude. Like, oh, yeah, I could train 12 hours a day. I could do this, you know. And like, but everybody's having a good time.
It's like a drug. You don't want to give it up, to be honest with you.
and there's not like, I never feel like I collide with anybody's ego or anything. It's just this time of like sharing and camaraderie. Mm-hmm. You just want to come back all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wish I'd moved down here when I was younger. But there I was, training in Portland in 2001 to 2004. And Leonard Trigg had disappeared. I think he was grieving.
Mm-hmm.
When, in fact, you know, we built a personal relationship. I know he was grieving because Professor Trigg trained with Maestro Ted pretty closely, with Edgar Saletti pretty closely, and with Pendecker.
Mm.
And they all passed in such a short window of time.
Right, right, right.
He kind of pulled out and took a break and was like, I'm not going to work with anybody for a while.
Yeah, that's understandable.
And I talked to all the seniors, and they're like, no, he's not even working with me. He's just not out here right now. And then he started teaching some boxers, and he had a female world champion, Molly McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
And another journeyman guy who was really good, Mike Lucero. And he was about to fight Cesar Chavez Jr.
Oh, wow.
And then some personal complications came up. But, you know, Trigg was always a phenomenal boxing coach. And over the years, doing drills, I'm like, there's a lot of Kyle Kai in his boxing drills.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like getting the manual, and you're like, oh, that's familiar. Oh, that's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Like looking back at everything. So I trained with him for almost 10 years, like 2005 to 2013. And the same goal, I want the genuine article. I want to train under Guru. I want to get certified. And they're just ended
meanwhile,
up,
he's training all these big name people like Leonard Trigg.
Yeah, right. And you know, if he's out there listening, that was kind of his sentiment too. Yeah. It was like, well, you know, you're training with me, but he allowed me to cross train.
Right.
But at the end of the day, there was just kind of a barrier there.
Sure.
And so I was like, well, I'm just gonna start going down to LA. And I had finally gotten my school going enough where I had the means to travel. And so I started coming down here once or twice a year to just different events and random seminars or just classes. I just come for a week or two for classes.
Which is always a good bet. I mean, that's a good one. You know, there's a little different. I mean, and you can attest this because you've done both now. So there's a difference between, say, coming to a camp, coming to a seminar, and coming to the classes.
110%.
Now, some of it's the speed. Because yeah. I'll tell you, any day of the week, and I love to watch the people's eyes when they say this, when we, you know, we go through, go help with a seminar or whatever, and 3 hours go by, and people are like, whew, man, that was a lot. I say, yeah, but it's a good pace, though. I said, it usually covers this in an hour and a half in class, and they're like, what? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, class is kind of fast.
Class can be fast.
Yeah. I just, I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to. So this is a good pivot point in the story too. So I just needed some personal changes to be made. I was coming to LA, and I didn't really have a direction because mm-hmm. I would talk to Guru and be like, "Hey, Guru, you know, one day I'd really like to be certified under you." And he'd be kind of look at me and be like, "Oh, that's nice.
That's nice, Joe. I hear that 7,000 times
yeah,
a day."
Yeah, you know. And I would talk to Guru Joel, who I knew the most because I'd see him at the seminars. And he'd be like, yeah, I hear that 7,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I went back to Portland, and then Guru was in Seattle. And there I am again lamenting to Guru Joel at, like, the merch table when he's packing up, getting ready to go to the airport. Like, on Sunday night, they're leaving, and everybody's gone. And I'm like, well, man, I really want to get there. You know I'm genuine. I've been around for years. And I'm like, what do I need to do? And just serendipity steps in, and out of the corner, Chris Clark walks around the door, and he's like, oh, I'll work with you. Just start coming.
Hi, I'm Chris Clark.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, you will? And I had seen Guru Chris in passing at countless events, and just by and by. You know, and he's like, I just moved down to Vancouver. I'm close to Portland. Come up and get some training in with me, and let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me the full in Asano treatment, man. That, yeah. I am so blessed. That guy came into my life. And
yeah, that's a dude that is I'm just kind of surprised more people don't know about. I'm going to put it that way.
Well, he's terrible at marketing.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I'm going to get you on here.
Yeah, get him on here.
One of my people on the list.
Oh, dude, he's awesome.
Yeah.
So it started out, come up Fridays, let's do a private. I'm like, great, you know, we worked out the rate, let's do an hour. I think the first day it was, well, can you stay for 2 hours? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do 2 hours. And then the next week I came up and I had to be somewhere. I was like, well, we're going to do our hour. So I took off at the end of the hour, and he's like, oh, okay, you're leaving. I'm like, well, yeah, I got this appointment. I got to go. So then after that, I'm like, well, maybe I'll just leave it open. Mm-hmm. Next Friday we did like 3 or 4 hours. I'm like, oh, man, all right. So we keep that up, and then he's like, man, can you come in like Monday? And I'm like, yeah, I can come in Monday. And I'm like, I can't pay.
And this concludes the abbreviated version of the podcast. Please consider supporting the program by going to www.patreon.com/MALMAG and subscribing to the show. You can also purchase this individual episode or any individual episode at our Gumroad page. That's malmag.gumroad.com. Thank you for listening to this episode with Joe Heller. Coming up next week, I talk to Virginia's Clay Johnson. Our Malmag online store at martialartslifestylemagazine.com has a full selection of Timmy B's brand sticks for FMA and Krabiker Bong. Timmy B's brand now selling in Japan as well. Beautiful Timmy B's brand shirts and Dos Manos shirts are available, with new t-shirt designs and more products coming soon. An online course in the Dos Manos method for FMA is available under the Courses tab. More courses coming soon. Check out the Places to Train tab to find schools near you, and click on the events calendar page to see what seminars and events are happening all around the world. And of course, visit our main page for articles on the martial arts. Music by Jack L. Relic. Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine and the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast are trademarked and copyrighted by TNT LLC.